January 12, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from the 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It says our strength comes from the Lord, but not from our own. The second verse, in the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The Word of God is like a relay marathon race in which all the runners are passing the baton to the next runner, like Hakone Marathon you see on New Year's Day every year. I teach the Word, and then you would take the message and would pass it on to someone else. That's how the church was formed. You don't keep the word to yourself. But when you want to pass the message on to someone else, you also need the wisdom to know how to introduce the message to them and to teach them. So it is important to educate yourself and edify yourself in the word. And if you do it correctly, the next person will do the same to someone else. And when you share the testimony with others, pray that your message will be understood correctly and not have the message distorted. You have to fight for it to do such work for the Lord. The verse 3. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul repeatedly says to Timothy that they are soldiers. We personally do not have an experience of being soldier in a war, but if you were enlisted, you would not have a normal life. One day you may be a family man, but next day you would have to be in a tropical island somewhere clearing jungle. So Paul saying that we must endure hardship indicates that hardship does come when we serve Jesus Christ. Do not think that life as a Christian is an easy walk in the park. But when we serve God, you will go through some oppositions, but you will enter into the eternal life and others will see the glory of God through you. A soldier's mission is to take the life of the enemy, to kill or to be killed. So stakes are our lives. If one team wins, the opposing team lose many lives and vice versa. And that's the kind of warfare we're engaged in whether we like it or not. So even for publishing the book from our church, we encountered many hardships. But if we give it up and then stop our work, that's the end of the story. So we have to keep fighting for it. That's why we are considered to be a soldier. And a soldier cannot choose an easy way out. The verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that we may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Here again, it says that we should not be caught up with our daily lives only. You should not put watching TV or taking a nap above your time with God. Of course, you don't need to be like, you're so busy doing God's work that you don't even have time to eat. That's extreme. And for the word, the affairs of this life, I looked up the Greek version, and it uses the word bio, which means flesh, like our body. So, when we do God's work, we will have to sacrifice some part of our fleshy life. So I gave up TV altogether, and once I did that, I had more time for God. And also, if you serve God, your social life will suffer. I spend my time here on every Saturday and Sunday, so when I am invited to a wedding or other social function on the weekend, I can never attend those. My aunt was very upset when I could not attend her son's wedding when they had it on Sunday. But I send her our newsletters and then she knows what I'm doing. Verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. When you play soccer, you use your feet, but if you use your hands, You will be called for a foul, and you will lose a point. The same thing with our Christian life. This life is a wrestling match with the evil spirits, and since we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, as Paul says, Paul emphasizes that it is important that we know the rules. I have seen many people whose faith and spiritual life have become stagnant and have stopped growing because they simply didn't know the rules. So living by the rule is so important. Paul says that if we don't compete according to the rules, we will not obtain the crown. For the ancient Olympics, the winner won a laurel wreath instead of a gold medal. But we are living for God so that we can obtain the heavenly crown. But I see many people who are ignoring the rules. There's a man called Peter Wagner. He was engaged in the spiritual warfare, and he was teaching the spiritual rules that I thought he was not quite biblical. My concern was for one, many Christians do not know the rules of spiritual warfare, and for two, there are many who teaches wrong rules. About this matter, let's look at the 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. It clearly says that there will be people who speak evil of authority of God. You also say angels, but there are angels of God and angels of darkness. And Peter Wagner's teaching was all about going after the angels who are greater in power and might than us. And as the verse 11 says, I don't know if you have engaged in spiritual warfare. I have, and I must say, it is very dangerous. It is like you're going to the police station over there and then you throw a stone at him from behind and simply to start a fight. Of course he would get upset. Peter Wagner is teaching everyone to engage in a spiritual warfare, but if you don't know the rule, it would be very dangerous and you could even lose your life. I have heard about this person who engaged in spiritual warfare to fight against the angels of darkness over the island of Okinawa, and he went up in the highest mountain in Okinawa, and after the battle, and he was driving down the mountain, and his car brake stopped working, and he lost control, and he died. I personally have such experience too. When I was with another church, I went to Ise Shrine with 70 other church members and started rebuking the demons. I got the backlash. About a week later, and I was out with my children, and all of a sudden, I came down with a severe migraine that I could not even stand up. It was like someone put a metal strap around my head and it kept tightening it. I don't normally have migraine or headache, but it happened so suddenly. Luckily, I survived. But there are many people who are teaching the false rules, so you have to be very careful, because whether you're aware of it or not, if you cross the street on a red light, you will get hit. That's the rule. And it does not matter if you have a PhD or if you're a teacher or you're just a child. If you cross the street on a red light, you will get hit. So it is important to know the rule. I didn't know back then why I suffered from such a severe migraine, but now I know why, and I see that what I did was such a dangerous thing. I don't recommend that to other people. There are many instructions written in the Bible. For example, David did not harm Saul with his own hands, even when he had a chance to. I believe this could indicate the relationship we ought to have between angels and human beings, that we are not to take the matter into our own hands. On the contrary, when When a soldier cut Saul's head and reported that to King David, David punished the soldier instead. Also, when a man killed Saul's son in his sleep and reported the death to David, the man got also killed by David too. And if Saul and his son were angels, let's say, even though they're bad, you are not to take the matters into your own hands. You need to respect them and leave their fate up to God. Bible teaches you the rules, and if your eyes are open to it, you will find those instructions in the Bible. It does not openly say that the Bible is a rule book. So there are people who understand it and there are others who don't. But our lives unfold according to the spiritual rules that exist. Just like the gravity is there, whether we know it or not. Just because we don't know the gravity exists, it doesn't make the gravity go away. Same thing with the spiritual rules. So you have to spend time with the Bible. If you casually read it through and only read the parts you like, you will not understand it. But if you really spend time with it and read it over and over again, your eyes will be opened and your understanding will be deepened. Also, people who are rebellious and does not obey the authority, those who refuse to lead a sinful lifestyle and repent, such people become vulnerable to the attack of the evil. Let's look at the Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Here, father or mother is people of authority. And those who disrespect the authority at home or even at church will have his eyes plucked and by the ravens and the eagles. Your ravens and eagles are metaphors of the spirit, and your spiritual eyes will be plucked out and you will become spiritually blind. This is true. And when you see someone who is disrespectful to their parents, you see them being attacked by the evil spirits. The physical world follows the rules of law of physics, and the spiritual world follows the rules of the spirit. It is not always easy to understand, but when we seek for it, God always reveals it to us. I see many Christians whose growth becomes stagnant because they are ignorant of the spiritual rules. Now let's go back to the 2 Timothy. Verse 6. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Crop here means the bread of life and the eternal life and the spiritual blessings. And the workers here is those who serve the Lord. So it is like people who get rewarded first will be the waiters of the restaurant, not the customers who are sitting and waiting for the food to be served. Those who serve will be rewarded first. Same thing with the church. As you know, the time we gather on Sunday, it's called service. So one who serves will be rewarded first. Like the farmer who tends the field will be rewarded first with the crop. The verse 7. Consider what I say. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. The Bible is hard to understand, but for those who seek the Lord, God will grant us the ability to understand all things. Here he says, all things, not some things, but all things. The verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. You will see oppositions when we preach the gospel. In extreme case, you might be chained. That's how much Satan hates the gospel, because it is threatening to him. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. So we are to die with Christ. It does not mean that you should hang yourself, but you die in your flesh. You die in yourself. Then you live with Christ. Verse 12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Endurance is needed if we are to follow Christ and seek the truth. Peter, Paul, John, and Jesus too are a good example. None of them were loved by people all the time. John was sent to islands of Patmos like a criminal. None of them lived a great life in the human standard. If we preach something pleasing to people's ear, using God's name, like the Pope or Mother Teresa, you might not be so much persecuted since you're pleasing Satan. But if we deeply pursue the truth, we might see that kind of persecutions. So don't expect that you will have a troubleless life. Don't expect to receive recognition from people and from this world. It is clear that Paul was not even expecting people to love him, nor he was asking for recognition, because his real reward was in the next life. So if you try to seek both love of the world and love of God, you will not obtain either one. Next verse, if we deny him, he also will deny us. About this part, same thing is written in Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 and 70. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're saying." This is what denying Jesus is. If we deny him like this, Jesus will deny us. Don't say that God is love, therefore he will tolerate our betrayal. I was talking to this young man who goes to a church somewhere in Yokohama, and we started talking about the persecution, and he said when he faces persecution, he could deny Christ, and later in his prayer he can repent and ask for forgiveness. And he asked me if I agree with that, and I was speechless. Of course, I hope that we will never face that kind of persecution, but we have to know that the Word of God says, and we have to follow it, since everything unfolds as God has spoken, and it is clearly said that God will deny us if we deny God. And the last verse of the day. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, because he cannot deny himself.